Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Lost Lake.
That would be a little weird. Is it lost?
And apparently not.
We know where it is.
It's kind of like Amazing Grace. It once was lost, but now it's found.
Sounds good to me.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. But if you're just cooking for your family on a weeknight, beef is a great ingredient. Easy to cook, so many options, fits into any recipe. It's all right there for you. If you're looking for those recipes, they're available to you at msbeef.org, along with a ton more information about the great Mississippi beef farmers and the beef industry here in our state. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. If you're looking for that great last-minute gift for dad, College Corner is the place to get it. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Floor by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler. Had a guy in town today from Super Talk. He's like, hey, we're taking some people out to dinner tonight. Where should I take them? Restaurant Tyler? Pretty easy question there, guys. I'll be happy to answer it for you. Yes, if you are bringing people into Starkville for any reason, where do you want to take them to dinner? Where do you want to impress them? Take them to Restaurant Tyler. They'll have a great meal, and everybody will think you know what's up, and you do because you listen to this podcast. Restaurant Tyler, that's the best to get the best meal in Starkville. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule. You need a bank that provides a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, today we are 12 weeks away from the start of the college football season. That means that here on Thunder and Lightning, we are starting with some opponent previews, and that means we start at the back end. It is time to talk about the Egg Bowl. And today, I was looking at it. If Ole Miss wins the game this year, they will have won five of the last six Egg Bowls. And that would be a stretch that we haven't seen since 1985 to 90, when the Rebels won five out of six. As young Brian Haydad was having to go to elementary school every day and hear about that from his Ole Miss friends. And, of course, that was a time when that game was all you had. You didn't have anything else as a fan of those two teams. Obviously, different stakes, especially for the Rebels in the past few years. So I guess my question is this. This game is always important. It's the most important game on the schedule, year in, year out. Is it more important to break this streak this year for Mississippi State than it's been in years past? Five out of six is really starting to put some distance. Not that there isn't already a lot of distance between these two programs. It starts getting to a point where you're like, when are they going to win again?
Yeah, it's very important, not only just because of that, and it can switch on a dime at any point. I don't think we're going to get back to the point where Ole Miss under Johnny Vaught won 17 out of 18 or whatever it was. I just don't think that's going to happen. There's too much that these two teams put into this rivalry that it's hard to be completely buried like that for two decades. But State is in a rut right now as a program and hasn't been able to win that game consistently. It's big for Mississippi State this year because, one, it's at home. You need to protect your home field in this rivalry. Two, because you have lost to Lane Kiffin now four out of five, whatever it is at this point. And three, because you're trying to take your trajectory upward. And it's kind of like the Dan Mullen thing when he started turning things around in this rivalry in 2009. They won that ball game at the end of the year. And State has been within striking distance in this game several times over the last few years and hasn't been able to pull it out. This is a game they really need. Back into the schedule, the last game of the regular season. Who knows if they're going to be in position to make a bowl? It might be tough, but if they're not, if you're sitting there 4-8 or whatever, winning that ball game, a lot like 2009, would springboard you into the off season. And this is going to be a talented Ole Miss team. I don't really know what they're going to do. I have no clue what they're going to look like this year.
Yeah,
I imagine they will. You know, at worst, you're looking at probably 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah.
Just the trajectory
is not very difficult.
Yeah, you know, and Lane Kiffin's been really consistent there. So they're coming into that game. I would be shocked if they're not in the top 25. So it's just a big game for Mississippi State trying to go into the offseason or into a bowl game, whatever, with some momentum. This would be huge for them. And I thought they played hard last year. I thought they played hard the year before that. You're just talking about two different teams in terms of talent. And where Mississippi State was. I think State's going to be more talented than last year. I think Ole Miss is going to be a little less talented than they were last year, from especially top-end talent. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? You know, we'll find out. I think that this is a very, very big game for Jeff Lebby, and he really needs to win it this year.
There's some Mullen first-year vibes around this, that if State can find a way in the early portion of the schedule – to win 4 non-conference games, or even 3 out of 4. If they could find a way to beat Arkansas in the middle of the season, and they could come into this game at 5-6 or 4-7, Lebby winning that game would give him the same kind of boost, I think, that Mullen got from beating Ole Miss in his first year. Now, that's not to say that Ole Miss is going to turn around the next year and be 4-8, then 2-10 and fire Lane Kiffin. I don't think that program's anywhere. I think that program is on very solid footing right now. But for Lebby, this game would give him so much in terms of just relief from the fan base to be able to get the Golden Egg Trophy back to Starkville. And you hit on something, and I bring it up in the interview you're about to listen to with Michael Katz. As good as Ole Miss has been these last 2 years, and as bad as State has been the last 2 years, you're talking about two games that were decided by 10 points and 12 points. State was at the goal line in the fourth quarter with a chance to cut this lead to 5. State played its best defensive game of the year against Ole Miss this past year. Just couldn't get anything going against that elite Ole Miss defense, which is going to take a step back this year. I think they'll still be good, but they don't have Walter Nolan. They don't have Princely Umamielen. They don't have Trey Amos. They don't have those guys anymore. So this is a crucial game, even more so than it normally is. And like I said, I'm a person that will tell you that, you know, beating your rival is an important thing. You can't be the best team in the country if you're not the best team in your own state. Alabama certainly believes that. That's why they value the Iron Bowl. I know a lot of fans on the other side of this rivalry try to play it off, but at the end of the day, if you're losing to Mississippi State, you're not competing for SEC and national championships. You're just not.
They try to play it off, but they're wearing hats after the game and shirts. So.
By the way, looking for a graphic for this game, so I just typed in, like, the score of the game and the year. The shirts that are available for this game that you can buy are just hideous. And I'm sure if State had won the same shirt, I'm not trying to make a point about Ole Miss and the shirts they make, but, God, if I ever saw somebody wearing a 2024 Egg Bowl Champs T-shirt that says, it says, like, Sip Happens, I was like, get out of here with that.
Yeah, if they didn't care about this rivalry, they wouldn't start the slogan "We run the sip and wear the hats after the game."
Yeah, that's a discussion for another day. But I'm a total.
No, it's a discussion for today.
Is it
discussion for every day?
You just want to be angry. You're so angry.
I'm just saying.
You get somebody write us another 500 word tweet.
I just don't understand the people that act like this game doesn't matter, and then turn around. And I mean, you go look at their replies and their mentions, and they're talking about the rivalry.
You look at their Twitter feed, and it's just all State. Yeah,
it's all talking trash.
At least the State fans who are like that, they'll admit it. they'll be like, yes, I hate Ole Miss, and that's why I do this. But
it is really weird how different the two are.
It is.
State fans will tell you straight up, like, I do want Ole Miss to go to hell. I'm perfectly fine with that.
And the Ole Miss fans won't, but they do.
And Ole Miss is like, we don't care anything about it. And then you go look at their Twitter feed, and it's
like, why do you have the Egg Bowl score in your Twitter bio?
Why are you telling state fans the only thing that matters is the fact that you beat them last year in football? I mean, embrace it. This rivalry has been around for well over 100 years.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, embrace the rivalry. It's what makes football
fun.
That is it. So, you know, you look at last year's game, and of all the games where you can play the if Shapen had been healthy card, this is the one for me. Like, if Shapen is healthy, I don't know if State wins. State gets into the end zone there and makes it more of a competitive game. A couple of Van Buren's throws in this game were just not good. And
he wasn't great in this game.
He was not, you know, and he had some good moments in this game. He had the long touchdown pass to Kevin Coleman. He had the other long pass that was just short of the goal line there. He had a long bomb to Akari in this game. But he also
missed the one that was just short of the goal line. I remember texting the group and saying, like, State will not score.
They will not score, and you were correct. But he also had a really bad interception in this one that set up an early Ole Miss score. He had the ball to Devon Booth that was underthrown that would have been a touchdown if he had made a better throw. If Shapen, you know, we're playing the same game with Shapen here. If he's still the starting quarterback when this game rolls around, if he's healthy, State's going to have a puncher's chance in this game. They always do. When's the last time Ole Miss just blew Mississippi State out? It's been a while. You know, I guess you could say
was 15 was kind of a blowout. It wasn't.
They lost
close.
By 11, but the game was not really that close. Like, State scored a couple times late to make it look more interesting, but. Yeah, for the
that
most
was
part.
Pretty much it. That one in 14, they pulled away. 12, they pulled away. But those games were close in the first half.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I can't sit here today on June 11th and tell you, yeah, I think State's going to win this game, or that I even think State's going to be in this game, because these two teams right now, there is a difference between them. There is a sizable difference in the talent of the roster and in the. What would be the word? I don't want to use the word prestige, but in the faith you have in the coaching staff. I have a lot more faith in Kiffin and Golding than I do in Lebby and Hutzler at this time. And no one with a straight face can tell you different. Anybody who tells you different is just a homer. So we'll see. All right, let's go down to the interview. Also, you know, all of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. Dads, we got to take care of each other out there. So a trip to Alora Modern Wellness, it's not just for the wives and the girlfriends. It's for you as well. If you are trying to, you know, stay in shape, keeping your body healthy, keeping your body feeling good is a big part of that. Alora Modern Wellness can help you feel better. They got a great variety of services. Whatever it is you're looking for to make your body feel better, they can do that for you. And, of course, ladies, hey, you're welcome to join us as well. Whatever you're looking to do for your body to make yourself feel better when you walk in from when you walked in the door, Alora Modern Wellness has that for you. Give them a call today. Talk to our friend Rich. Go to their website at aloramodernwellness.com. You can book an appointment right there and see all the services that are available. Alora Modern Wellness brings you our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning. I talked earlier in the day to Michael Katz of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, covers the Rebels and has been doing so for quite some time. Despite the fact that he's a Dodgers fan, he's a good guy. We like him here on Thunder and Lightning. Let's go down to my interview with Michael Katz. It's hard to believe that we're only 12 weeks away from the start of the college football season, and as is tradition here on Thunder and Lightning, it's time to start with our opponent previews. And as always, we go back to front so that when we get to the end, we're at the team that Mississippi State is playing. What does that mean? It means we're going to talk about the Egg Bowl today with Michael Katz from the Daily Journal. Michael, I have always been a guy. One thing I've always talked about is cycles with Mississippi State and Ole Miss, that these programs, it's tough for them. In a five-year cycle, you should have three pretty good years. You can have one year where you're really up, and then you have one year where maybe you take a step back. Ole Miss has broken the cycle. They are looking at their fifth straight really good season. Their down year was an eight-win year. Is this a year where, if I'm right about cycles, that Ole Miss could be down in some way, or is the team just too talented and the schedule too conducive that this team is just going to win 8-9 games again this season?
It's hard for me to see them not getting at least eight. I think 8-4, 9-3 is a pretty reasonable expectation for things like you said. That schedule is still, by SEC standards, pretty on the easier side. Also, you get, a lot of those games last year, those tough ones towards the end. Those are road games. You get LSU at home this year. You get Florida at home this year. Obviously, the Kentucky one, that was inexcusable. We know that was I. Still, it's been several months since that happened. I still can't believe that happened. That's early on in the season at Kentucky, and that's, Mark Stoops' teams play. They're tough. They're gritty. That being said, I think it's easy to look at this team and see the things they lost, like Jackson Dart and the receivers and Walter Nolan and all these great defenders. But I think the thing that has this Ole Miss program in such a good place is that they've done a really good job of preparing for those sorts of losses through recruiting and the portal, and just sort of building this program to a place where, yeah, are you going to be a playoff contender every year? You'd love to be, but let's be honest, that's just probably not how it works. But you're in a place where you're going to be in the national conversation. And I think that the way they've recruited at the high school ranks, particularly the last few years, has been really good. Obviously, you know what Lane Kiffin does in the portal. But I think they're more filling in the gaps now in the portal, where, these last couple of years it was finding superstars in the portal, like Jackson Dart and Walter and Princely, and maybe that's just what this class was this year. But there weren't those sorts of guys, and I think that's because they feel pretty good about the guys that they already had, and that it was more of maybe filling in gaps than it was a complete overhaul. So I guess that's a long-winded way of saying I think this program's in a good place. It doesn't. I don't know what it's going to take for it to completely fall off a cliff, but I don't think this is it.
Yeah, I think we both know what it would take, and that would be Lane
Well,
Kiffin deciding to take a different job. But that doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon. If Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl this year, they'll have won 5 of the last 6. The last time that happened, I was 15. It was 1990. They won in 86. They won what? 85, 86, 88, 89, 90. And young Brian Haydad was in attendance for most of those and didn't have a good time. I didn't go to the one win, which is incredible.
perfect.
For state, breaking that cycle, I feel like would give Lebby, goodness gracious. I remember Mullen's first year, and he was 4-7 coming into that game, and there was a lot of, yeah, they're better, but it's still a long way to go. And then you beat Ole Miss, and everything changed in that one offseason. The next year, Ole Miss is 4-8, and I'm not predicting that if State were to find an Egg Bowl win, that Ole Miss would fall off that cliff we were just talking about. But this is a massive. The game's important every year, but I feel for State, this is one of the biggest Egg Bowls ever. They have to find a way to break the cycle. I guess my question is, when you look at these two teams in June, is that even a remote possibility from your perspective?
I mean, I guess it's always a possibility because you know how weird this game can be and has been historically. But I mean, if we're just looking at rosters and where the programs are, it's hard to see a path for State. But
It's fair.
I think that, like you said, like this is a really important one for State, just to sort of show the signs of life that you need to see in year two under Levy, to see the signs of the offense growing and all these sorts of things. You got to see the star quarterback and all of those types of things. But I guess as of right now, it's probably it's difficult to see that road. But weird things happen in during seasons from start to finish, and weird things happen in the Egg Bowl particularly. Sometimes guys lift their legs and pee on the field. You just never know what's going to happen. But I would say
Were
if
you
we're
at
just
that game? Were you at
I
that
was not. That was right
game? Okay.
before I got here. But if we're looking at roster composition and just where the programs are, Ole Miss seems to still be a pretty good amount ahead. But like you said, one game can change that.
And what's interesting is these are the two of the best years in Ole Miss history these past two seasons. These are two really bad years for Mississippi State. Final margin of victory was 10 points 2 years ago, 12 points. Mississippi State was on the goal line with a chance to cut it to 5 late in the game this past year in Oxford. These games have been kind of close. Is there a reason for that from your perspective? I don't think it's just a simple, well, when they're these two rivals get together to throw the record books out. There's something. Ole Miss has just not played as well against Mississippi State these past 2 years as they have against other teams.
I think Ole Miss, and this is we saw this year, has from time to time played down to competition. I mean, look again, the Kentucky game, the inexcusable loss to the 4-8 Kentucky team.
Yeah.
That game single-handedly kept you out of the playoff. If you lose to Florida and LSU, all's forgiven as long as you win the other games that you won. But the Kentucky one, that just they couldn't overcome that. We have seen them from time to time, maybe not play their best against the mid-level opponents. Now, you know, they come out like world beaters against Georgia and South Carolina, and that LSU game, they were up the entire game until the overtime
Yeah, man.
play. They played pretty well that game. They've played well against good teams for the most part recently. You know, obviously the an Alabama game here and there notwithstanding. I think in a 12 game regular season, I think it's hard to stay focused for that long, and you're gonna have those lulls where I think you walk out there and you're like, we should beat the crap out of this team, but you know, you get in the trenches and it's not as easy as you thought, and then it probably starts going through your head like, oh wait, are we gonna win this game? So I think it's just you know, and I think that's the next step for. There's a couple next steps, I think, for Ole Miss. One, it's developing offensive line. I think that's the biggest thing for this program right now. We've seen quarterbacks, we've seen running backs, we've seen receivers, we've seen defensive linemen. I think the next step for the program is the offensive line. I think when you start churning those guys out, that's when your program's in a really good place. The other thing I think is the consistency of you don't have those weeks off. If you look at those great, Georgia teams or Alabama teams or any of the great dynasties, yeah, you're going to lose a game here and there, but for the most part, you take care of your business against the teams you need to. And I think that's a big step is not losing the games that you need to win.
I think it's not, hyperbole to say this is a very hyped season for Austin Simmons based off of one drive. The guy
Yep.
had came in, look, I won't take anything away from him. He came into an incredibly pressure-packed situation and looked like Joe Montana, Tom Brady. I mean, he just looked great. That's all we got to see, though, really. I mean, we saw some of him in mop-up time against the weaker opponents. What is Austin Simmons? Is he the quarterback that we saw in that one drive? Is he just going to have some freshman mistakes? What do you expect from him in his first year as the starter at Ole Miss?
I think it's tough because, like you said, the extended action we've seen from him was this incredible. We went 5 for 6 and led that touchdown drive in a moment where, you know, if Georgia scores again, that's a 2-score game in the first quarter, and that thing maybe completely spirals out of control before Jackson's able to come back in. So I mean, yeah, no, it was huge, and that was really part of the hype machine, but I think with Austin, yeah, I listen, is he going to come in and play like a fourth-year guy like Jackson? Well, Jackson didn't make mistakes for the most part last year, and I don't know if you can expect, you know, a redshirt sophomore to come in and do all the same things. That being said, you know, you hate to do the the eyeball Olympics, but when he throws a football, it looks a little different. I mean, that arm is just, you know, I know he's a lefty, and I know the Tua thing that comes up a lot with him, right? They
I
just
had
some of
Greg
them look like.
McElroy on the show yesterday, and he talked about Simmons, and he's like, he can just make throws where the coverage can be perfect, and he still gets the pass to the receiver.
Yeah, I mean, the arm is elite. Jackson Dart has a fantastic arm. There's a reason he went in the first round. But Austin Simmons, you know, there's a reason he was throwing 95 as a true freshman reliever for the baseball team. Like, that arm is rare. I also think too, and I know this is going to be the new talking point this year. This is the new Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard, or that Ryan Williams is only 17. It's that Austin Simmons graduated already. That's the new one, I fear.
You can have that one.
Yeah, we're gonna hear
You'll get
that
to
one a
write
lot.
about it a lot.
Yeah, we're gonna hear that one a lot. But I think he's a really mature kid. I know he's low on experience at this level, but he's a really smart kid. I think he understands what being the face of a program is. He learned from a great guy. Jackson Dart was about as good as it gets in terms of learning on how to handle all the things of being an SEC quarterback. But yeah, no, I mean he's wiser than most sophomores are. Again, he's already starting his master's program or whatever. To ex you know, are am I expecting him to throw 30 touchdowns and 4 picks or, you know, whatever it was that Jackson did last year and lead the nation in efficiency? I don't know if that's fair, but I don't expect this thing to fall off a cliff in terms of the production. I think Austin is going to do a really good job. He's just I think that he's too talented. I think he's too smart, and I do think there is something to be said for like Lane has had him picked as his next quarterback for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he brought in competition. They brought in Walker Howard a couple years ago, and they said, Austin Simmons, you are above him on the depth chart. Like, that said something to me. When you bring in these guys and you still stick with your high school guy and say, you say, hey, this is, there was no competition brought in this year. You know, even with Jackson, they brought in Spencer Sanders.
Yeah.
They didn't bring in any competition for Austin. This is Austin's team. And I think that says a lot about what they think he can do.
Almost going to play their best running back this year, and if so, who is that?
Isn't that the million-dollar question? Depending on the week, last year it was a walk-on wide receiver from Air Force, sometimes playing running back. I still don't really understand how that one went down, but yeah, that was an interesting one. I think there's a couple guys to look at. Logan Diggs is finally healthy. He's a former Notre Dame and LSU guy. He was LSU's leading running back rusher a couple years ago until he tore up his knee in the bowl game. I think it was the it was against Wisconsin or Purdue or something. But it took him a while to get back. He only played one game last year, and I think he only got one carry in the bowl game. But he's finally healthy. He's been a productive guy everywhere he's been, and so I think that's going to be big. I think that consistency at the position is key. Something they did not have last year. I think the other guy is Kewon Lacy, Missouri transfer. He was the guy that almost went to Ole Miss out of high school, chose Mizzou. He was a four-star kid. Didn't play a ton there last year. I think they brought in some transfers too, and he just kind of got lost in the shuffle. Transferred to Ole Miss this year. I think he's a really talented kid. I think last year's lesson, there are a couple lessons, but one of them is that you can never have too many healthy running backs, because when Henry Parrish went out, it all really kind of fell apart back there. Henry was having a nice year. It just never really recovered after that. And there's the whole Ulysses Bentley saga. I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom of what truly happened there, but I think it's safe to say it just did not work
You're a
out.
big J. Dig into that.
Oh, brother, we have all tried, and I just just there's I can't wait for his book. Let's just say that. Whenever the book comes out, I'll write the foreword, please. I just need to know what happened. But yeah, I think they are trying to avoid a situation like that again. Because listen, like, you can put all that on Jackson Dart. He was a senior. He's a guy who, if things aren't going well in the running game, he can make it happen. I don't think you want to put Austin in that sort of situation. Not like he can't do it, but you want to give a young quarterback as much of a running game as you can.
You think back to last year's Egg Bowl, and Ole Miss was not very good offensively. I mean, if they don't have that long touchdown run by Bentley, I don't know how that game goes. But defensively, they were dominant, and that was the case for them all season long. They were the number one defense in the conference. Big losses on that side of the ball, and it felt like Ole Miss made a. You talked about Simmons, and they put their faith in the high school guy. I feel like they kind of did that with their defensive line too. They're going to replace Umanmielen and Nolan and Ivy and Pegues with those guys they recruited a couple years ago, Kamarion Franklin and Beavers and Rush, and obviously Xavier Harris is still there. Is that the right formula, do you think?
I think it is. I think it has to be, because I don't think you can't expect Walter Nolans to end up in the portal every year, right?
Right.
I mean, those are just them and Princely. Like, that was a remote, I mean, that's an all-time transfer portal haul in what you got there. And Pooh Paul and Trey Amos. I mean, you got high-level SEC All-American type players in that transfer portal haul. I don't think you can expect that every year. So I think they really have been focusing on building the defensive trenches for whenever those guys left. And again, can you expect Franklin to be Princely and someone to step in and be Walter Nolan right away? Again, I think that's like putting Jackson Dart expectations on Austin right now. But I think the big thing is, listen, this was the number two scoring defense in the country last year. There were
Right.
times when this defense was way better than the offense.
Oh
The
yeah.
defense led to them winning a lot of those games. And the
It
offense was like,
won the Georgia game.
yeah, I mean, that was the
100%.
number, and they had the number three scoring offense in the country. And there were times when the defense was miles ahead of the offense. Do I expect it to be that way that this year? I don't know. I don't think it's, if we're looking at the trajectory of the Ole Miss program under Lane, they've had one elite defense. The defense the year before was pretty good. I expect it to probably be a little bit closer to that, maybe a little bit better than the 2023 team. I just think the big thing is you just can't let it go from this elite defense to just all hell breaks loose. You don't have the talent anymore. You just are depending on 50 points a game. They can't do that. And I think that what Pete Golding has done is he's recruited in a way that they're not going to have to do that. So, I know Pete, when he came from Alabama, he had a lot of critics over there. He's done nothing but an amazing job at Ole Miss in terms of recruiting and the game
100%.
plan.
Yep.
And I mean, he's really turned this thing around to where you could come to Ole Miss now and become a first round pick on defense. And who the hell would have ever said that the first couple years, you know? So I think that is this going to be the best defense in the country? Arguably again, probably not. But I think it can still be really good because they've racked up a lot of that high school talent and they filled in the gaps with guys at Princely's brother and Deshaun Womack, and they've got guys who can help what they already had.
People tell me I'm kind of negative, so I'm going to play positive here for my final question. Let's say, you said 8-4 was probably the best case scenario, or not the best case, but probably the low end scenario for Ole Miss, right? So they come into the Egg Bowl 7-4 in that scenario. Let's say State has put something together. They win those four non-conference games at the beginning of the year. They beat Arkansas. They're 5-6 coming into this game. They have to win to go to a bowl, and they do it. And say State finishes 6-6, and then Ole Miss is 7-5, and where are we if that happens?
It would remind me a lot of that 2022 season, when what were they, 7-0, I think Ole Miss was,
You
and they
are, yeah.
lost 5 of 6, and it all went very, very south very quickly. It would probably seem like that sort of season. Obviously, every season has its own story, but for it to go like that, I think would sort of have to spiral. And again, they lost the Egg Bowl that year in a, and a, that was a heart. I mean, that was a game. Ole Miss, they were right there. They have that huge play late to get them into position, and four shots to the end zone, you don't get it, and then they stop running the ball. And there were a lot of questions there at the end of that one. And obviously, there were some rumors about a head coach going to Auburn at that time. There were a lot of moving pieces.
It may have been a little bit more than rumors. I'll be honest with you.
There were a lot of moving pieces at the end of that season. But hypothetically, if they do go 7-5, are people going to be bummed? Of course. But I think Lane has earned a little bit of leeway in terms of, listen, you're coming off the two best, maybe arguably the best 2-year run in modern program history, at least in the last couple decades, in terms of what they've done with 21 wins and top 15 rankings and all that sort of stuff, the draft picks. Would 7-5 be a huge bummer? Of course. I mean, this is a top 20 team, I think,
I think so too,
preseason.
yeah.
But I think he's got a little bit of a runway to adjust things and get them back on track. Because look, the last time it quote unquote fell apart and they went 8-5, they went 11-2 the next year. So I think that, assuming that everything else stays in place and the coaching staff stays as is currently constructed, I think it's hard for me to see it staying at that 7-5 level for too long if it were to go that way, if that makes
I
sense.
agree with you. As I said, I just wanted to play the what if game there on the potential of an interesting Egg Bowl on Black Friday. All right, man. I will talk to you again in I guess about a month. I'll see you at SEC Media Days, but then after that, I'll talk to you again in November when we actually preview this game when we get there. Michael Katz, The Daily Journal. Always appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, thanks to Michael for his time. Really appreciate him coming in on the podcast. And now we're off and running. Next week we'll be talking about Missouri. And we'll just keep going from there and take you all the way through till we get to week. When we get to week one, we'll be talking about the Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles. Looking forward to it. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And I know you're looking for it. I know that you're thinking, man, I could go for a trip to Two Brothers right now. Well, that makes me and you both, brother. I wish I was there as well. I wish I was at the older brother. Either one. I will take that any old day of the week, and I will probably be hitting that up very, very soon. If you're going to be in Starkville around dinner time, around lunchtime, it's a real easy thing to do. Just go to the Cotton District, park your car, and then you got two great choices right next to each other. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. That was a very aggressive one today. All right.
We were talking Egg Bowl.
Egg Bowl got you all riled up. I hear you.
That's right.
If you need business technology, copiers, printers, whatever it is, our friends at Advantage Business Systems have exactly what you're looking for, but they also have what you're looking for in terms of service. After the sale, that's when you need to be able to rely on the people who sold you these products. That's what you get with Advantage Business Systems. That's how they've been open for as long as they've been open. And how long is that again? In just in case someone missed it.
50?
50 years. Years. Yes, 50 years.
50.
50. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you need MSU gear here in Starkville, the place to go is Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection. Nobody's even close to what is being on offer at Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white under one roof. Whatever you need, whatever gift you're looking for a grad, for a dad, for mom, for your tailgate, for your car, whatever it is, they've got you at Maroon & Co. Save some money with our promo code. Thunder15 takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, if you need MSU gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. It's hot outside today. It's going to be a weekend where you're going to need to be out in the lawn, out in the yard, doing some work. Before you do anything, make sure you've got a trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden because they've got what you need there. They got the John Deere power that you need there. If you're tired of being out on your yard all day trying to get it to look right, you need to upgrade to a John Deere commercial mower. You'll get 0% financing for 24 months. If you need to haul, tow, or just get around your property with ease, the John Deere Gator is waiting on you. 2.5% financing for 48 months. And for the really big jobs, you need to check out the John Deere Compact Utility Tractor. 0% financing up to 72 months. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden today for these amazing John Deere deals. Offers valid through July 2nd. All right. Earlier this week on Sports Talk Mississippi, I had a chance to sit down with Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, former New York Jets quarterback. SEC Network, ESPN, and of course, Mac and Cube in the morning over in Alabama. Quarterbacks would be his area of expertise. I wanted to get his thoughts on some of the top names in the conference this year, including Blake Shapen. So let's go now to my interview with Greg McElroy. We go back to the Farm Bureau guest line. Check out favrates.com and go with the home team. Greg McElroy, ESPN, SEC Network, Mac and Cube in the mornings. Great looking guy. Just a fantastic human being. We love him here on the show. Greg, thanks for joining me, man, especially with all the headache we had putting this together. I want to talk about quarterbacks, which is something I obviously you'll know a lot about. Our friend Andy Staples put out a top 10 quarterbacks in college football recently, and I was taking a look at it. He has DJ Lagway and Lenore Sellers 1-2 in college football for this upcoming season. I like those guys. I think they have a lot of potential, but that's I couldn't quite wrap my head around them being the top two guys in this sport this year. What do you say?
I think that's way too high. I got tons of faith in their projections, and if that's what he's basing it off of, if it's purely projections, and hey, these guys are, we think at season's end, have a chance to be 1-2, I'm totally support that. But to an extent, you have to also account for what's been done. And while I got ton of respect for DJ Lagway, there were great moments last year. There were highlight moments last year. There were also moments that left you thinking, you know, that's kind of a freshman mistake. And you also have to kind of chalk that up to the fact that he never got first team reps. He was splitting time at least early in the season with Graham Mertz, and Graham Mertz, frankly, was probably going 75-25 with the amount of reps he was getting to DJ Lagway's reps. But once he kind of got going down the stretch, there was a belief and there was the kind of the magical play that he would make regularly, but he also threw it into traffic a few too many times for my comfort level, and the numbers reflect that. On the other side, Lenora Sellers, it's kind of hard to push back because he did some magical things last year with a less than stellar supporting cast as far as his weaponry is concerned. He was kind of a one-man show, and it doesn't mean he can't replicate that. He can. But I think there is a possibility for a slight regression in the sense that now people are going to be able to kind of game plan against him. I think he caught some people by surprise last year and did some miraculous things. But if his supporting cast can improve, and I think they can, then he's got a chance for a big bump. So it's kind of dependent. I think Lenoris is really more dependent on what it looks like around him. Whereas DJ, I think he is going to be in a pretty good position. But right now, to have them 1-2 in college football, I think that's just way too high.
The two most experienced guys, the production guys in the conference are Nussmeier at LSU and Jon Mateer at Oklahoma. If you asked me to rank the top two quarterbacks in this conference going into the year, that's probably who I would put 1 and 2. What do you think about those two guys?
Yeah, those would be the two I'd have at the top right now, in the SEC. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that want to kind of get on board the Arch Manning train. Like I'm still in kind of see it to believe it mode. Doesn't mean he won't be there, but based on his measurables, based on his pedigree, based on the glimpses on tape last year, I'm optimistic about his projection. But I can't necessarily include him. We've already kind of gone through the Lagway and what I think of Lenora Sellers. So if I'm going just down in, down out production, it'd be hard for me not to start with Mateer at one and then Nussmeier at two. Now start with Mateer. I think the challenge that people are having right now is how will he do against increased levels of competition? I think that's perfectly fair, but the same questions were asked last year of Cam Ward prior to arriving at Miami, and we see with his supporting cast improving, we see just how much better he became, and in that offense, how much better he became. So, I think we've already got a precedent of a guy coming from that system and then immediately having success at the Power Five. So, I feel very comfortable assuming that Jon Mateer's progress will actually increase. And last year, he relied so much on his legs. I don't think he's going to have to do as much of that this year because he's got really good weapons at wide receiver. And he's got Jaden Ott at running back, so they're not going to need him to use his legs as often as he had to use them there at Washington State. I also, not knowing their depth, I don't think it'd be wise to subject him to unnecessary contact if you have other guys that kind of lighten that load. On the other side with Nussmeier, I think there's a lot of growth that can be had, but it's just not growth that I think is overly concerning. Two things I wanted to do better this year. One, take off and run. The guy ran like 17 times last year. He views quarterback scramble as kind of a sign of weakness, whereas with the way the game's evolved, quarterback scramble, especially on third down, six, seven situations, it's a necessary thing to have in your game. You don't necessarily have to be running quarterback power to be a very effective runner. He almost never took off last year. And if he can, by the way, he has that athleticism. If he took off a little more often, that would be a whole heck of a lot better for his offense and his offensive line because you can't just pin your ears back and rush the passer if the quarterback's a threat to take off up the middle. So I want to do that better. And then two, I feel like there are times where he wants to kind of show off his arm, and I respect that and appreciate that. But there are times when you need to do that, and there are times when you need to resist that urge. I think there were times last year in which he let the environment and the situation in the game dictate some of his pre-snap and post-snap decision making. So I think if he can do those two things a little bit better, and that comes a little bit with maturity, that comes a little bit with, hey, I've already proven a lot, I don't have to continue to prove, then I think he'll be in a really good spot. So those would be my top two coming into the season with some things to work on, but not as many things to work on as Lagway, Lenoris, and the guys that are still in prove it mode to me, like Arch Manning, Ty Simpson, Jackson Arnold, et cetera.
So you mentioned Simpson there, and obviously I want to talk to you about Alabama. There's a lot of teams in the conference this year that are going to have high hopes that have inexperienced quarterbacks. Texas, Alabama, Georgia is another
Yeah.
one. What's Ty Simpson is probably going to be the guy at Alabama. I don't see a scenario where he doesn't win that job. What's the ceiling on this guy in this Kalen DeBoer offense?
Well, I do think that there is. I agree with you in saying that I'd be surprised if he wasn't the starter. I do think there's a window for one of the other two guys, whether it's Austin Mack or Keelan Russell, to go and secure that job. I do think if Ty doesn't get it, it's probably more on his inability to just go and take it. I think in a perfect world for Alabama this year, Ty goes and takes the starting job. They mix in every once in a while when the opportunity presents itself, some of the young guys, and just see how they fare. I think going with the young quarterback's challenging. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how talented he is. He might be the most talented guy on planet Earth, but a freshman quarterback's going to make freshman mistakes, and Alabama's expectations are to compete for the national championship every year. It's hard to do that with a true freshman quarterback unless the supporting cast is just so phenomenal that they can overcome
what mistakes and limitations the true freshman might have. And we saw Alabama do that in 2016 with Jalen Hurts. I mean, the team around Jalen Hurts, go look at the roster, is significantly more talented than the team that will take the field for the Tide this year in 25. So I'd be more comfortable with Keelan Russell in that situation if he had that type of supporting cast, but he doesn't. So I think the veteran play is the safer of the two. As far as Ty Simpson, I think he's got a lot of ability. I think a big thing with him is more confidence. I think believing that you can do it, trusting that you can do it, and kind of developing that, I don't want to say that arrogance, but that swagger that's needed to play quarterback in the SEC at a high level. Like, to be the quarterback in the SEC, you have to believe that you are the man. Now, people will say, well, you're arrogant, you're cocky. No, no, no. You just have to have an innate belief in yourself and your ability to lead. And I do think that that's been the one thing missing with Ty Simpson. It's never been about the skill set. It's never been about the talent. I think it's about the belief in oneself that the guys will follow me, belief in oneself that I am going to make the right decision. Because 2 years ago, he was the most talented guy in the mix. I was told by people close to the program that he was likely going to be the guy, but he just couldn't go out there and win it. And as a result, the competition lingered and lingered and lingered, and the natural God-given talent that Jalen Milroe had eventually overtook Ty Simpson, because even though Jalen Milroe was inconsistent, you always had that threat of him taking off and going 70 yards on the ground for a touchdown. So his big play ability outweighed what would be the game management that Ty would be able to employ. So I'm really confident in his skill set. Now it's, I think, just the belief. And I think that will come with reps, and that will come with great play in fall camp. And I'm hoping that Alabama gets that. And I'm hoping that for Ty, that he can do that as well.
Just a couple of minutes left, Greg. Let's talk about the quarterbacks here in this state, Austin Simmons and Blake Shapen. We'll start in Oxford. We got a taste of Austin Simmons under the most incredible pressure a freshman quarterback could have been thrown into. And he looked really good in that one drive against Georgia. Is that sustainable? Is that the talent level for that young man?
So, you know, I had a coach tell me last year that, look, Jackson's amazing and he's a great college player. And now he's been drafted really high, and I hope the best for him in the NFL. I think he's in a good situation with Brian Daboll, who knows how to kind of develop that young quarterback that might lean a little more on his athleticism early and then develop kind of the other traits that are necessary to become a franchise guy. But Austin scared people last year. Like, they were concerned about him being thrust into the game because he can do things physically with his arm and fit the ball into windows that Jackson could not regularly fit the ball into. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be a better player than Jackson. That I think people misconstrue things like this. Talent is not necessarily mean production.
Right.
There's a very big difference there. Like, one of the most talented quarterbacks we've seen the last 5 or 6 years in the SEC was Joe Milton. He was a very average college player, but he was very, very, very talented. So that fear of him being able to hit that 75-yard bomb downfield was always there for opposing coaches that would face off against him. Another guy that always scared the heck out of people was Anthony Schwartz at Auburn. He was a wide receiver, very average wide receiver, frankly.
I remember him, yeah.
But he ran 4.2, so everybody was scared to death of the guy all the time, you know? So it's like, this guy could run past us at any point, so we got to have a guy way over the top of him, because if he gets past us, that's one play in a game that might snap the ball 80 times, and that one play might make the difference. So people were scared of Austin Simmons last year because of just how gifted he was throwing the football and how natural the release was, and how quickly he could get it out, and how he could fit it into windows that are uncoverable. You could have perfect coverage, and it wouldn't matter because he could fit it in a place where you cannot defend. I'm really bullish on him. Now, I'm also super bullish on their wide receiver core, because much has been made about the departures. I think there has not been enough made of the additions. I think Deshaun Stribling is a really good player. I think Caden Lee in the slot is excellent. He proved that last year. I think you got two tight ends that can be real big difference makers. And Trey Wallace, who transferred down from Penn State, he was painfully underutilized at times last year because they were so, so oriented towards trying to get the ball to their tight end, Tyler Warren. Who can blame him? But as a result, people kind of forgot what Trey Wallace was capable of doing. So I'm really, really bullish on their passing attack. But the same things with Ole Miss always remain. Can they protect? And if they have to run the ball, in a situation in which you are expecting them to run the ball. If the defense knows you're running it on fourth and one, can you run the ball and get that first down? Because if you look at their shortcomings last year, whether it was against Kentucky, against Florida, against LSU, it was their inability to sustain drives because they went for it on fourth down and they couldn't pick up the short yardage situation. That is the key. So I'm not worried about quarterback at Ole Miss. I'm not worried about wide receiver. I am worried about their offensive line being able to pick up the tough yardage, because if they can't, then the same things that plagued them last year might plague them again this year.
And then with Chapin, I've been making the joke recently, he should just change his last name to Blake Chapin if he stays healthy, because that's the concern with him. He hasn't played that full season yet. If he can get 12 games out of Blake Chapin, what can he be and what can Mississippi State be?
I think he'd be great. I mean, he was great at times at Baylor. You know, I mean, if you listen to what Coach Levy said all last offseason, privately and publicly, it's like, look, man, we got a lot of concerns, but I can tell you one thing that we're not concerned about is our quarterback. That guy can go. I'll take his word for it. You know what I mean? And I do think that there are some challenges, though, when you are coming back from injury, as someone that played in the NFL and had injuries in each of my first 3 years in the league. Sometimes there is that fear of getting hurt when you've been hurt before. And that mental psychological aspect of being able to play and avoid that injury is challenging. So I hate that he's had the tough hands that he's been dealt up to this point, but he's got to stay healthy. And if that means getting rid of the ball a little faster, great. If that means not taking a hit or making sure that you're prepared to take that hit when it's coming, do it. If it requires you taking a sack as opposed to trying to get rid of it right before the guy arrives so that you don't land awkwardly on your shoulder, on your head, or on your back, or whatever it may be, you got to do that. He's got to be really, really smart because he does have that history. Now, it's an impossible thing because it's also something you never want to talk about.
Right.
You know, you never want to say, oh, yeah, you avoid injury. Like, you never say that. It's like when you're playing golf. It's like, don't hit it in the water. Well, where are you going to look? You know what I mean? It's like it's an unfortunate. It's like if the water's on the left, hey, don't hit it in the water. Well, I'm going to blow it out of bounds right. You know what I mean? I think that's part of the challenge. It's like the one thing that you never want to talk about and you never want to address, but it's the real part of the story with Blake Chapin. If he can stay healthy, they're going to be a handful in offense, just like they always are. But if he can't stay healthy, then it remains questionable. Now the good news is they do have an insurance policy in Kromenhoek, who gave you some good reps at Florida State last year, so that's beneficial. And they obviously did a good job last year under the circumstances, having lost their guy, and then next guy in, they were still pretty good on offense. So if we're losing sleep right now, as a Mississippi State fan, I wouldn't lose as much sleep about the offense as I would about the defense, because there's a big overhaul on that side of the ball. There's optimism abound, but going from 126th to 85th might win you one more game.
Yeah.
But that's not the goal for Jeff Levy. Going from 126 to 55 probably wins you three more games. That's the goal, right? So yeah. I think a massive and seismic improvement on that side of the ball will also not force your quarterback to potentially be in harm's way because you're in obvious passing situation. So I know that's – look, the whole team – I think the whole – a college football team is a scale. And, like, I'm talking like the old school scales, like when you walk into a federal building and you look at the scale that's on the wall because you're going into the courthouse. Like, to me, that's a team. Defense on one side, offense on the other. Well, if the defense is really, really light and the offense is weighed down, then there's going to be a whole lot more of a burden on the offense and the potential for risk and the potential for injury and all those other things if the defense doesn't hold up there into the bargain. But if the defense improves, then you're not going to be subjected to potentially putting your quarterback in harm's way, because you're not dropping back all the time. He's not running around for his life all the time trying to make a play because he has to erase a 17-point deficit. So I think there's a lot of things in play, but the big thing that I would be focused on would be trying to improve that defense drastically. And if you can, I think Mississippi State's got a chance to be a real spoiler at times this year.
You're preaching to the choir on that last little bit there. I'll just go and let you know. I knew all that stuff. I've been saying it for months. One last thing before I let you go. What is that maroon piece of memorabilia off to the side there? What is that?
Well, I have a couple pieces of memorabilia. I have a bomber jacket with all types of Alabama paraphernalia that someone
That is maroon. That is not crimson.
It does look maroon, but the most important thing that you need to focus on, hey dad, is this old memberly, old Waverly
yeah.
member guest flight winner.
Very good.
You need to recognize that.
I will pass that information along to Richard Cross and let him know that you've dominated that course.
Yeah, that is Old Waverly Golf Club member guest flight champion 2021.
Very nice.
I was able to take my buddy down there from Charlotte. He'd never been to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we took a bus down there, because there were about eight of us, we took a bus down there and had a couple pops on the ride.
Yes.
And from the time he landed at Birmingham to the time he arrived at Old Waverly, which is what, two and a half hours at
Something
most?
Like that, yeah.
He might have had 17 drinks. So he played out of his mind. But he said, look, he wanted to give it all he had in his first trip to Mississippi, and he certainly left no stone unturned, and we had a great time, and it resulted in victory. So what more can you ask for? We didn't win the whole thing, but we did win our flight.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Greg McElroy, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on, and we'll see you at SEC Media Days in about a month.
All right, buddy. Look forward to it.
All right, thanks to Greg for his time. It's that time of year. So this week, Robbie, I've talked to him. I talked to Drew DeArmond from over in North Alabama. I talked to David Nuno from Texags. And I talked to Jacob Hester. And we're all doing the same thing. It's like, all right, I'll see you in about a month. It's like the last few days of summer vacation. We're getting to see our friends again. First day of school's coming.
Yeah. We don't really get anything out of that week, but yeah, still
we'll get a nice steak dinner out of it, if nothing else.
That is true. Sorry. But it is very enjoyable. That's worth the trip.
It is. It's worth to spend Richard Cross's money. It absolutely is. So there we go.
Is it really Richard's money, or does he just say that he's got the card, he signs his name to
I'm him. Just telling you, Richard is notorious for never turning in those expense reports. So we may be actually spending his money. We'll see.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, he's great. He's not that bad.
I think I made him mad last time because I cut a joke on him at the steakhouse we were at in Dallas.
What'd you say?
I said something about – I made some kind of remark about Ole Miss people and
– Oh.
And laugh.
Yeah, it's not a joke when it's true.
He didn't find it funny.
Well, that's how Ole Miss people are. You can't joke about them. They're very sensitive. Very sensitive. All right.
I have heard that before.
Yes. Tomorrow's show, we got the SEC kickoff windows today after we started recording. So we will go over that on tomorrow's show with you. We know winabouts, as they would say here in the South. Mississippi State will kick off for all 12 games. We'll go over that. Maybe some baseball recruiting news, Robbie. Can we get some of that tomorrow, you think?
Hopefully.
Or 472 just going to scratch his own skin off?
My God, I absolutely love our board, but that thread is driving me insane.
It's
driving me absolutely insane. It's like Robbie, every two posts, there's one or two people that's just asking the same questions, and it's just
– Well, you heard.
Ernie, but I love you all. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for being there and providing –
that reminds
nice
me, though.
Conversation.
That reminds me, the owner of your website was very rude to me the other day. And I don't.
Well, no. I want to clarify.
I'm not tolerating that from you. And
I want to clarify that these six pack people, they're completely separate from us. We share the same hotel, but they're down the hall.
I think he's your boss, and you tell him from me, I will not accept that kind
he,
of
behavior. He is not my boss. As I said yesterday, there are a lot of people in this business that try to claim that they are or were my boss.
He signed the paperwork.
That never
got you from Gene.
That never paid me anything, never gave me a paycheck, never had any kind of control over me. These people are not my bosses.
I
want to distinguish that 100% right now that Stephen Augustinelli has no control over anything that I do.
I don't know if that's accurate. I think you could be wrong.
Let's go ahead and write that down. Let's go ahead and cement that. And I'm going to sign off on that Stephen Augustinelli has no power over me. And I don't want my name to be associated with him at times, even though I consider him a friend. But as we know, people that consider themselves friends sometimes aren't really.
Sometimes you never know. Yeah.
Never know.
All right, guys. Talk to you again on Friday. And then don't forget, Friday, that's it for a week. We'll be back after that. I know. Well, you know, we all deserve a time off. We all deserve it.
So. When does mine come?
Whenever you want to take it. I'm not the boss of you. So whenever you want to take time off, you just take it. I won't say anything.
Okay, if Steven's the boss of me, then can
Then you
Steven
need to
come
put in your
over?
PTO request with him, not with me.
Oh, boy.
There you go. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.